Okay, it is time for us to begin our class. Welcome to the Bible class for the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. We are in the midst of a series we're doing. We're calling it a shepherding series. And basically what we're doing with that is that the elders are talking about things that we're seeing in the congregation, trying to basically shepherd the congregation, call us to be following the Bible and not following the influences of our culture that are around us. We're trying to draw that contrast between what people in the world around us believe and live by and think we ought to live by, and what the Bible says we ought to be living by. And so that's our purpose. That's what we're here to talk about. And today, I'm going to be talking about the topic of seeking first the kingdom of God. And in the midst of that, I'll talk about some scriptures about that. I will talk about some of the things that we've seen in the congregation and some of the influences that we feel like we're having coming into the church that affect that, and then basically call us to follow the scriptures. So that's where we're headed. So before we go any further, let's pause for a prayer. Father, we are so grateful that you love us. We're grateful that you have given us life. We're grateful that you've brought us together this morning to worship you, to study your word. Father, we're grateful that you provide us with everything we need in life. Father, thank you for this time that we can look at your word. Please help me as I teach it. Please help us to understand your word, to understand what you would have us to do, how you'd have us to live. Help us to clearly see the influences that the world is having on us. And help us to realize the damage that that does. Help us to understand from your word how to correct that and how to become the kind of people that that you created us to be and you've called us to be. Be with us as we study these things out. We love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So I am missing my lovely assistant. I'm sure she'll be here in a minute. We have grandchildren staying with us today. So I will try to keep up with myself here. Clicking two clickers. So we're talking about seeking first the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know if you recognize what you're looking at on the screen up there, but that is my laptop with eSword on it, okay? You know, a lot of times people are trying to illustrate the Bible. They'll use like a Bible, a traditional Bible with the gold leaf around the edges, and it's, you know, flexible leather binding and all that. This is my Bible. Okay, and my glasses there, my coffee cup, you know, there's sort of a subliminal message in these slides about let's get into the Bible, let's find out what God wants us to be, who he wants us to be, let's study that out, let's guide our lives and live our lives by the Bible. So that's what we're talking about here. But we're talking about seeking first the kingdom of God. And, of course, that phrase comes from Matthew 6, verse 33, where Jesus said, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." All of what things? Okay, if we looked at the context, he says, you know, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, what you will wear, because the Gentiles seek after all those things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So he says, seek first. Okay, that's an important word to understand because it's what we ought to be doing. It's how we ought to seek, right? Now, does that mean, okay, I got up this morning, I read my Bible, I did that first. And so now I can go on with my day and do whatever I feel like I need to do because I first sought the kingdom. Is that what he's talking about? I don't think so. I think he's talking about that needs to be the first consideration in every choice I make. It needs to be the first consideration. It needs to be the highest priority in my life is the kingdom of God. So he says, seek first his kingdom, God's kingdom, right? Now, what is God's kingdom? I need to be seeking God's kingdom. I need to find it. I want to be a part of it. That's the idea, right? So if you're a part of a kingdom, what does that mean? There is a king. You're a subject. And if you want to remain in good standing with the king, you follow his commands, right? Amen. You find out what he expects, and you comply with that diligently. You know, in this country, we don't really have a good concept of what is a kingdom or what is a king. Thank you. We actually, I don't know whose those are. Somebody lose some glasses? Oh, okay. I'm going to put them right here in case somebody realizes somebody lost some glasses. oh, there you go. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. So, okay, but we don't have a really good concept of what a king is. Here comes my lovely assistant. Everybody, let's give her a round of applause. Just the right and left buttons. So you need to click it at least a couple of times. I've already forgotten a couple of them. See, this is why I need Sherry. I'm kind of a mess without Sherry. So, in more ways than one. But we're talking about the kingdom, okay? We don't have a really good concept of what a king is, what a kingdom is. You know, and a lot of times we think about our president as the king or as the one that he's talking about here. But no, that's not really a good analogy because in our country, the president can only, he can't do anything by himself. He has to get Congress to agree with him, right? In fact, sometimes that's a difficult, that makes it a really hard job, right? Because a lot of times Congress doesn't agree. If Congress can get both houses of Congress to agree on something, then he can sign it or he can veto it. But if he vetoes it, they can override him. So, you know, he certainly has a lot of influence on what gets done, but he is not a king. If a king has a whim, he gets what he wants. The king says, you know, I don't like the clothes you're wearing, off with his head. If the king says that, your head's coming off, right? The king says, I don't think you ought to, you know, do X, Y, or Z. You know, you're not going to do X, Y, or Z, or you're going to lose your head, right? A king has absolute power. God is a king, right? He's a good king, but he's a king. He has a will, and we need to know it. We need to understand it. We need to follow it, not like we would follow the commands of a president, but like the commands of an absolute ruler. Okay, there's a difference. I think that's an important distinction for us to understand because God is not like the president. He doesn't have to persuade a cabinet. He didn't have to persuade a Congress. You know, his veto can't be overridden. Okay, God has absolute power. And so we're seeking to be a part of that kind of kingdom. That means we're seeking to say Jesus is Lord, right? That's what we're looking for. All right. So he also says, seek first his righteousness, right? What does that mean? That means, and we're talking about, again, seeking first, as in the first priority, having the kind of righteousness that God calls for. We're not talking about the kind of righteousness that our next-door neighbor thinks is good enough, right? Or that our government thinks is good enough. We're talking about the kind of righteousness that God calls for. We need to understand what God's righteousness is, and we're seeking that with top priority. So that's the idea. He says, if you do that, God's going to take care of your physical needs. All right? So that's what it means. Seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew 13, starting in verse 44, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field. Okay, so we're talking here, we're going to look at a number of scriptures that talk about the kingdom. Okay, what is this kingdom? What are we supposed to do? He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Okay, here we have somebody, it sounds like he just kind of stumbled upon some treasure, right? Didn't necessarily say he was looking for the treasure, but he found the treasure. And he decided, I need to have that treasure. So what did he do? He hid it again and sold everything he had and bought the field so that he could get that treasure. Okay? So we need to realize that, you know, when we're seeking the kingdom of God, we're seeking something that's a treasure. Right. Seek it like a treasure. Seek to be in that kingdom, to be compliant with that king, like that's the best place you could ever want to be. Like it solves all the issues of your life. It makes you fulfill the reason for which you were created. It makes you a successful, gives you a successful life, not necessarily in the worldly sense of success, but in the sense of your creator who created you, who had a purpose for you. You can be a success at that. So you're seeking that like a treasure. It cost him everything he had. He sold everything he had to buy that field. Nothing he had was held back. And you know, the kingdom of God, to be a part of the kingdom of God, you have to be able to, you have to give up everything you have. Everything you have now belongs to God. Your priorities have changed. Now you're not pursuing all the things you like or you know, your own, you're not pursuing your own gratification. You're pursuing pleasing the king. So it costs you everything, okay? But it's worth every penny. It's worth every penny because God's the one who made you. He's a good king. He wants you to be successful. He made you so that you could have joy and peace. You know, if you read through the New Testament, practically every book, you know, every letter in the New Testament starts out, grace and peace to you from God our Father. I mean, what does God want to give you? But grace. He wants to give you peace. He wants you to be fulfilled. He wants you to, you know, Jesus said, I came to give them life and have it to the full. But if you live by your instincts, if you live, you know, by what seems right to you, there's a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in death. It's like I said with my wife, you know, says, I'm a mess without Sherry. Well, you know, we either, both of us together are a mess without God. Okay, we need God to help us stay out of the ditch on the side of the road. And to keep moving. That's what makes your life a success. Don't define the success of your life the way the people around you do. Because you're in the kingdom of God. You're seeking to please the king. And he's going to make your life work. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. That means you're going to be successful in the things that God created you for. Okay. So continuing on verse 45. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. So here we have somebody who was seeking for the treasure. He knew there was something out there that was worth finding, and he didn't have it yet. Hey, a lot of us were in that situation. Maybe some of us are in that situation right now. Maybe we realize, I need something I don't have. Okay, this guy was looking for the fine pearls, and he found one. He found the most valuable one. He sold everything he had and bought it. So he was looking not just for any pearl, but he was looking for a fine pearl, the finest. He found the finest one, and it cost him everything he had. Again, he sold everything he had to buy it. Okay. So if we're seeking first the kingdom of God, it's going to cost us everything we have. Okay. You have to resign yourself. You have to submit yourself. You know, he who seeks to save his own life will lose it. He who loses his life for me will find it. It's worth every penny. You find it. You find that life. He sold everything and bought it because it was the finest pearl. So that's how we ought to be seeking the kingdom of God. But there are some things that can disqualify you from the kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God is not just something that God just makes available indiscriminately. There are conditions. There are things he expects. There's things that if you don't comply with these things, you can't enter the kingdom of God. So first, in Matthew 7:21, this is a verse that I think was read the very first time I visited, you know, a church in college where I was eventually baptized. And, I think this was the verse more than anything else that persuaded me that I needed to take this thing really, really seriously. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. He goes on to say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and your name cast out demons and perform mighty miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Okay? And the problem here is they were not doing the will of the Father. Okay? That's a huge issue. You know, Jesus said in another place, he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? You know, if you're going to call Jesus Lord, if you're going to be in the kingdom of God, call him your king, your Lord, you got to be doing what he says. You can't play the game. You've got to be all in. You got to do it, or you got to just find something else to do because you're wasting your time. And basically, if you're not going to be doing the will of the Father, you're really harming his cause. Okay, you're doing more harm than good. So it's important for us to find out then what is the will of the Father, okay? That subliminal message on the back of the slide, right? You know, spend time in that Bible, study it out, learn what his will is. But not just that, get some spiritual advice. You know, if it's that important for you to know the will of God, to know whether you're complying with the will of God, why not talk to other people who can watch you, who can see the tendencies in your life, who can see, who have seen other, you know, people who can help you figure out, people who are more objective about your life than you may be yourself, and help you to understand, am I complying with the will of God? It's that important. I need to be sure I'm complying with the will of God. Am I making decisions that are consistent with being, of having Jesus as our Lord? So we need to be open to that. We need to be pursuing that. It's not just a matter of, oh, if somebody does happen to give me some advice, I'll listen to it and maybe take it, maybe not. Yeah, I mean, you'll maybe take it, maybe not. But you need to be seeking out wisdom from God, seeking out an objective view of whether or not your decisions are in compliance with the will of God. Get spiritual advice. Be willing to take it. Luke 9:62, Jesus said, you know, we're talking here about things that can disqualify you from the kingdom of God. He says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Okay? I mean, it sounds pretty plain, right? He wants you to he wants you to go all in. Okay? We're going to talk about that in a little while. He wants you to be completely committed to this path that you've taken. It's not I'm going to dip my toe in and test the waters. He wants you to jump in. He wants you to say, I'm not turning back. We sing that song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. No turning back. You know, there's no back door on this. I have no plan B. I am fully committed to following Jesus. Okay? If you start trying to follow Jesus, but you're kind of keeping one foot in your old life, or maybe you initially went wholeheartedly into it, but then over time your life has sort of drifted back into what you used to be. Has that happened in your life? Okay. You know, you can't go back to that old life. If you do, you're not fit for service in the kingdom of God. Okay. So we cannot return to our old life. John 3, verse 3, Jesus says this. He says, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Okay. That's pretty fundamental. All right, you want to find the kingdom of God. You're seeking first the kingdom of God. You want the blessings that are in the kingdom of God. You got to be born again. You can't just kind of inherit this from your family. You can't just over time, sort of by osmosis, enter the kingdom of God. It's a point in time when you make that commitment. When you say, I am going to leave my old life. The old man is going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to be raised to new life. Okay? Here he talks about being born of water and the Spirit. There's a conversion that involves baptism. Okay? But it's the fact that it's a brand new life that's the main point here. That your old life is gone. You're not going to go back to it. And you're a new creation. That happens at a point in time. You know, if you're going to be a king in the kingdom of God, that has to happen in your life. Think about, has that happened in your life? If not, let us help you find the next steps to get there. Because if you're seeking first the kingdom of God, you need to get to this point. You know, and it's of great urgency. You got to begin a new life. Okay? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 talks about some things that can disqualify you from the kingdom of God. He says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? There are other lists of sins that will keep you out of the kingdom of God, but this one will suffice, and he uses the terminology about inheriting the kingdom of God, right? These things will keep you from entering the kingdom of God. And, you know, there's the first several of these all have to do with sexual sin, right? And, you know, it's like he had to name several different ways in which we, you know, violate God's plan for sex, right? Okay. The bottom line here is that God designed sex for a certain situation, for people who are a man and a woman who are married to each other, okay? And all these other things will disqualify you from the kingdom of God. There's obviously, you know, it used to be when I was growing up, it was scandalous for somebody to be sexually immoral, especially to be living with somebody you're not married to. Okay? That was scandalous. Nowadays, it's normal. Okay? That's our culture. Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about our culture in a few minutes, but basically, just because our culture is trying to say these things are okay doesn't mean they're okay. It's not just homosexuality, it's not just sexual immorality. It's all the different ways of violating God's authorized use of sex, what it's designed for. Okay, but it's not just all about sex. He also talks about thieves. Okay, I mean, I think most of us can pretty well acknowledge, you know, that makes sense to us. Somebody who's a thief probably doesn't inherit the kingdom of God, right? Okay, we don't have trouble with that one. But whoa, the next one on the list is greedy. You know, think about it. Isn't that one that we're more, as Americans, we're more prone to fall into that one? You know, do you have envy of people that have more than you do? Do you want things you don't have? And, you know, are you satisfied? Are you content with what you have? Or is it always trying to accumulate more? Is there any limit to how much is enough for you? A way to sort of measure that is, are you in debt? Are you spending money you don't even have yet? Okay. If you're in debt, if you're not, you know, taking the steps to get out of debt, you're not getting some help with that, there might be a problem with greed in your life. And he says here that greed will keep you from inheriting the kingdom of God. Okay. That's a very serious matter. So right here, along with, you know, all these things about, you know, prostitution and sexual immorality, about thieves, it's right up there. No different. It'll keep you out of the kingdom of God just like those other things will. And he talks about drunkards and slanderers and swindlers. Slander. You know, what comes out of your mouth talking about somebody who's not present? You know, will you say things about a person, you know, derogatory or critical things about a person when they're not present that you don't say to their face? You know, do you say things that maybe if there was another point of view, somebody might say that's not really the full picture, that's not true? You know, you ought not to, you know, my mom used to tell me, I think a lot of us did, you know, our moms did, if you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say anything at all. You know, and he says right here that being slanderers will keep you out of the kingdom of God. It's important. You know, if you want to, you know, seek first the kingdom of God, you got to get that out of your life. Swindlers, you know, giving people a fair deal or not giving people a fair deal. You know, cheating on your taxes. You know, are you fiscally honest? Are you completely above board? Would you be embarrassed to have your how you treat money and how you treat other people with money displayed on the screen here for the church to see? You know, with your tax returns. You know, are we a swindler? Are we honest about our money? Those things will keep us from inheriting the kingdom of God. Okay, so the bottom line of that is, you know, if you're going to seek first the kingdom of God, you got to get that stuff out of your life. So now, here's the question. So we're talking about a shepherding series here. I've painted a picture here quickly of what seeking the kingdom of God is all about. What are your shepherds seeing related to this? And why are we talking about this in the shepherding series? Well, basically, we see people putting other things ahead of the kingdom of God. And I have my other remote here, which should allow me to point if the battery is not dead. Can y'all see that? Yeah, okay. All right, so here's a list of things that we've seen. And, you know, what I want to say right up front here is we're not talking about everybody, okay? We see sort of the tip of the iceberg. Things, you know, problems come to us. We start trying to, you know, fill slots or get people from one place to another, and we see problems in the people's lives as we work with them. This is not everybody, but we see this happening in the congregation, and we know that we don't see everything that happens, okay? So if we see the tip of the iceberg, we know there's more below the water, right? So we want you, if this is talking about you, let yourself be convicted. Realize that you need to change. If you're going to seek first the kingdom of God, if you want the benefits of being in the kingdom of God, and, you know, we're trying to help you with that, if that's you. If it's not you, help us with the people around you. Okay, that's sort of the half of the message of this whole series is some of you guys have this stuff on straight. A lot of you guys do. And for those folks, we need your help. Okay, let's hold a high standard for the people around us. Don't just look the other way. Okay, so kind of stuff we see. People routinely missing church. you know, due to work activities, because I'm tired, you know, I've got other things going on. I'm not talking about when you're legitimately sick. You know, there's an occasional time when you might have to go out of town. I'm talking about the normal, you know, routine week, you know, just I'm tired today, I'm not going to midweek. Or, you know, how much of an excuse does it take before you will miss? I see people, including my wife sometimes, not feeling well but coming to church. You know, are you staying home and you're better in better shape than they are? You know, routinely missing church. If you're seeking first the kingdom of God, it's going to be a priority to be there when the church meets, right? Okay. So people who routinely miss church are not seeking first the kingdom of God, and that's a problem. That's a big problem. Okay. Enrolling kids in activities that cause them to miss church. Okay. You know, think about it. You want your kids to, you're a disciple, you want to be in the kingdom of God, you want your kids to be in the kingdom of God, right? If it's important for you to be at church, it's important for them to be at church. Where are your priorities? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God on behalf of your children? Right. As a parent, that's your responsibility. So, somebody God entrusted to you, okay? People not attending family group activities or other church activities, how is your participation with your family group? Everybody who's a member of this congregation is in a family group. Do you know which family group you're in? We occasionally encounter people that don't know. That's a problem. Okay. The reason you're in that family group is so that you can take on some responsibilities for the people around you. Well, I'm going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. I've got another session on that. But you need to be a part of an active part of a family group. If you're a member of this congregation, you're in a family group. People staying out late on Saturday night, sleeping in on Sunday. There's a lot of things you can do with your Saturday, but Sunday morning worship starts Saturday night. Getting to bed on time so that you can get up on time. If you've got kids, it means getting them to bed on time so that they can get up on time, so they can get ready, so they can be here. Okay, so. It's a priority. The other half of that one is coming late to church. Some of us would use as our excuse, it's our kids. Some of us don't have kids. You know, some of us have, we would have to scramble to find an excuse for being late at church. You know, and really, there ought not to be an excuse. I mean, 10 o'clock, 9:45 to drop off your kids. What time do you have to get up for work on Monday? You know, what would your boss do if you didn't get to work until 10:30 in the morning? You can get there by 10. not enrolling your kids in camp. You know, that's camp. The swamp, the camp that we have is an amazing asset for raising our kids in the Lord. I hope that you see that as a priority in your life. It's not because that particular geographic spot is somehow holy or blessed or. It's because of what happens there. It's because of how that changes hearts and lives. It's a place where kids can learn to worship God without peer pressure trying to keep them from it. They can learn, what is it like to worship God? How can I escape from that peer pressure that's around me at school and actually understand this God, understand what a relationship with God looks like, and have people to help me? It's a great thing. If you don't make a priority of that, and I know it's expensive. I know it's expensive, and we help people when, to the degree there's, we try to work that out with you to be able to afford it. But start, you should be making plans now for next summer. Don't wait until May and think, ooh, I can't afford this. You can start planning for that now. But that's an illustration of many things that we offer in the church that maybe you're not taking advantage of. We have the financial peace classes. We have the United Marriage Series. We have lots of things going on. The family groups is another one. We have activities. All these things, our Sunday morning Bible classes, and yeah, I'm talking to the people who are here, but people who don't come to Sunday morning Bible class, they're missing out, but, it's not seeking first the kingdom of God. You've got an opportunity to draw closer to God, to understand Him better, to look at His Word, and, that's a big deal. If you're seeking first the kingdom of God, you're going to do those things. I'm just going to dash through these for time's sake. Finances and materialism. Not giving first fruits. Not serving. We talked about that last week. skipping fellowship after church. And you know, this is the first day of the NFL season, right? Okay. You know, during basketball, you know, there were some days during NBA season that were, you know, certain parts of our fellowship, people just kind of, where are they? You know, okay. You know, let me talk about cliques for a minute. You know, seeking first the kingdom of God means you're interested in the whole church. You want to do what's good for the church.
That's right.
Okay. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you had somebody of a different race into your house to feed them a meal? For hospitality. When's the last time you did that? You know, if you look around the room, you know, our majority and minority is a little different from the general population right now. We'd like to fix that, but so us white folks ought to be going over to dinner to a lot of people's houses, is what I'm trying to say. You know, you know, I'm just saying, you know, on the other hand, for Sherry and I, when we're having people over to our house from the church, there's going to be a lot of mix because we're having the church over, right? And it's a diverse group. How do your hospitality? Amen. Enough said. Okay. Let's take that one step further. How about the people you bring to church? You know, how diverse, you know, our demographics inside this room are going to look pretty much like the people that we invite to church. Okay. So we need to be aware of that. If you want a diverse church, you need to have diverse evangelism. Okay. How do we spend our discretionary time? What did you do Monday night this week? Tuesday night? Wednesday night? How did that advance the kingdom of God? You know, what are you doing with your time? How are you serving God? What are you doing to accomplish what God sent you here to do? Okay, God didn't just send you here to come to Sunday morning and Thursday night church, you know, and then to go to a job and, you know, to eat and die. That's not what you're here for, okay? So, you know, and then, you know, we could talk about seeking spiritual advice. We talked about that a little bit, okay? So, all right. So how are we being influenced by worldly values? You know, some of us have been afraid to ask our boss for Thursday night off, okay? That you're being influenced by your boss, okay? You're being influenced by a worldly value, okay? You can do it respectfully. You can go to him and say, okay, here's what I will do. Here's what I'm willing to do in exchange for that. You know, extra hours other times, you know, go beyond the call of duty in various ways. But we have been afraid. We're affected by our culture. We want our kids to be involved in all the same things that their friends are. Okay? You know, what are all the activities that our non-Christian friends are involved in? And we think, okay, yeah, my daughter needs to be a cheerleader. My son needs to be on the football team or the baseball team or, you know, or they need to be in this activity or that. And there's nothing inherently wrong with those activities. But they are not the priority. The priority is the kingdom of God. You're seeking that first. So, you know, the question here is, are we influenced by the people around us? I need to keep up with them. My kids want to do it because their kids do it. Okay? That's being influenced by the world around us. And that's contrary to seeking first the kingdom of God. Okay? This whole idea of weekends are for fun, and so we sleep in on Sunday. You know, what do you do with your... It really comes back to what do you do with your discretionary time. Okay? When you've got time that's not booked by your job, by your kids, by somebody else that you've got to do something for, what do you do with that time? Does it cross your mind to use that time for the Lord? Okay? Trying to appear successful in the eyes of our parents, our siblings, you know. What are the expectations that your parents have for your life? And where is that in your priority scheme compared to God's expectations for your life? Sometimes those things might be aligned. Sometimes they may not be aligned. You know, and particularly if we're trying to have worldly success because our parents believe that's what we need to have. You know, somehow we want to, you know, some of us want to achieve exactly what our parents have and we're, you know, 20 years old and they're 50. Okay? Some of us need, you know, want to excel, go beyond what our parents had because we're the generation that went to school or something and we need to accomplish more. We need to have a bigger house, a bigger car, a better job, you know, nicer clothes. You know, where does that come from? It's not in the Bible. You know, That is being influenced by the world. Okay? Materialism draining our finances. There are consequences to that kind of thing. And, you know, where does materialism come from? It comes from commercials. You know, comes from, what you see your neighbors driving down the street. It comes from all kinds of things that we want to keep up. Our kids pick it up at school. Want to have the tennis shoes that our kids have. You don't call them tennis shoes anywhere, right? What do they call them? Yes. Okay, they need sneakers, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. But you know, want to have the latest, you know, computer gaming machine, you know. Want to have what our kids have or what our friends have. Okay? I mentioned this already, NFL season, we're influenced by the world. We want to be as knowledgeable about what happened on Sunday at the football game as everybody else is. That's being influenced by the world. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with watching a football game. There's something wrong with letting that crowd out fellowship, letting that crowd out other things that you would otherwise be doing for the Lord. Okay. Hanging out with people just like ourselves. This is, you know, again, how diverse is your hospitality? How diverse is your the group that you hang out with? What is best for the kingdom? You know, do we want to have diversity in our family groups? Some of our family groups, frankly, are not very diverse, you know. And, you know, it's been that way for a while. You know, we could have converted some diversity. Let's have a conviction about what is good for the kingdom of God. Okay? All right. So, and in the midst of my talking, it locked up. Okay. So, all right. So we need to be seeking first the kingdom. I put it in three areas: in the big things, in the everyday things, and the moment by moment. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that the everyday things are the small things or the moment by moment. Those are very important. Those are big things. But you got the big decisions of your life. You got the things you got to deal with every day, and then you've got moment to moment. And you need to seek first the kingdom of God in all those things. Okay. Seeking first the kingdom in the big things. The biggest of all is becoming a Christian, right? If you haven't done that, that is urgent. Let me tell you, you know, you need to be doing that. Don't put it off. When are you going to get around to reconciling with God? Do you realize who you're out of reconciliation with? Do you realize what the consequences of that are? Okay, who we're going to marry? Okay, you know, these big things are things that if you mess these up, you can wreck your life. Okay. You can be carrying around a burden for the rest of your life because of a mistake you make. Okay, so who to marry? Marry a true disciple. All right. Now, you know, if we're married today, we're married to who we're married to, and God can help you with that. But if you're not married today, you need to make sure you don't. This is a big decision. You need lots of advice. You need lots of prayer. Don't move into it quickly, okay? Because it has lifelong consequences, one way or the other, for the good or for the bad, okay? Where you're going to live, you know. Some of us, you know, our job may move us. We may come up with for some reason, we may move to another place. Where would you be willing to move? There's got to be a great church there that you can raise your family in, that you can be encouraged in, that you can have a role to serve, where you can help other people, where you can accomplish and fulfill the purposes that God has for your life. Okay? You would not think of moving somewhere where that's not the kind of church that's there. And where are you going to work? You know, you would not take a job that would interfere with seeking first the kingdom of God. These are big decisions that can affect your whole life. Okay, so that's the deal. You need to make sure that whatever you do on these, and these are just examples, but for the big decisions, get lots of advice. Don't make them rashly. Make good decisions, and this kingdom of God needs to be the priority in the decision. Let it dictate the decision. Okay, the everyday things. You know, Acts 2, after the 3,000 were baptized, it says they devoted themselves to these four things. You know, these are like everyday things. These are things you do in daily. You know, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to prayer. So how are you doing at that? You know, seeking first the kingdom of God means that you are devoted to the scriptures. That's where the apostles' teachings are found, right? Okay, you're devoted to the Scriptures. How many days this week did you not read the Scriptures? Did you read them every day this week? Did you get something out of it? Did you remember something? Did you make progress in building your faith by reading the Scriptures this week? Are you devoted to the apostles' teaching? That's something you need to do every day. Okay. Fellowship, devoted to fellowship. They met together daily in the temple courts, right? They shared whatever they had with each other. They took care of each other. They were involved in each other's lives. You know, we have discipling partners in this church. If you're a member of this church, you're supposed to have a discipling partner. What that means is somebody that you are close to them. You have spiritual relationship. You talk about spiritual things. You talk about what's really going on in your life. Okay? Do you have that? Are you doing that? Okay? But they were devoted to the fellowship. You know, they didn't dash out of fellowship right after church to go watch the football game, right? Okay? Or in their case, you know, who knows what it was. But they were devoted to the fellowship. Could it be said of us that we are devoted to the fellowship? The breaking of bread, okay? Now, that could mean one of two things, really. It could mean communion. We take that every week, okay? But I'm talking here about daily, everyday things. So I think in this instance, I'm really talking about the hospitality side of this. Are you devoted to having people over and breaking bread together? Are you devoted to that connection with your brothers and sisters during the week? And are you devoted to prayer? You know, so prayer, something that you do on every day, something you're doing, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's move on to the moment by moment. Pray continually. You know, that's part of being devoted to prayer. You know, these are all things, you know, phrases out of passages. Pray continually. Let no unwholesome talk come from your mouth. That's a moment-by-moment thing, isn't it? If you're seeking first the kingdom of God, you've got to watch your mouth. Your tongue is a fire. It's full of deadly poison, full of evil. Okay, you can wreck a ship with your tongue. Make the most of every opportunity. Okay, so what are the opportunities around you during the week to serve God? Well, obviously, He wants us to share our faith. He wants us to encourage our brothers and sisters. He wants us to serve the needy. Okay, what kind of opportunities are you taking advantage of? Are you making the most of those? And then be holy, because the Lord is holy. What does it mean to be holy? It means you're set aside for His purposes. His purposes trump everything. You're not doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that. This is not one of the things you do. This is what you're all about. Okay, Ephesians 4:17 says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking." So basically here, the point is, we've hit the scripture every time I've talked anyway. This is contrary to the culture around us. You've got to be different. If you're fitting in, then there's a problem. You know, you can't be like your next door neighbor. I'm going to have to cut here because your kids need to come back in here for worship. There's a lot much more. Go read the last chapter of Joshua, talking about, you know, decide today whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.